Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to another edition of Power Talk. This month, I want to chat with you about a set of distinctions I've made recently in working in corporations. One of the challenges that companies have, that families have, and that individuals who are in relationship have all the time usually revolves around this one fundamental issue, and that is the way in which you and I communicate with each other. In fact, out of all the experience I've had, I've developed a whole new technology that I'm very passionate about. I call it reality bridging. It's a technology for communication mastery. It allows us to communicate with each other in a way that takes out a lot of the stress and a lot of the pain and a lot of the problems. And I want to at least introduce you to it in this tape. It's more than we can obviously do in one cassette. And I'm starting to do it now in companies and seeing absolutely incredible results. And I've also now begun to use it with individuals and just seen incredible changes. I worked with a couple the other day who were literally at the point of divorce, and it took me about 15 minutes of utilizing this technology to completely turn it around. So it's very simple, it's very basic, but it's also very powerful, because our ability to master our communication style, our communication abilities, really is the ability to master our life. And I think maybe we got to start with some presuppositions that I'm building all this upon. If you've been to any of my other seminars, I usually start most of my seminars talking about how the quality of our life is the quality of our communication. And I want to reinforce that theme here before we begin talking about anything else. In other words, it's not the events of our life that determine how we feel about things or how things turn out, but rather how we communicate to ourselves about the events of our life. It's not what happens, in other words, it's what we do with what happens inside of our head that determines how we feel and how we react. If we want to really master our life, we got to master the way we communicate, number one, with ourselves before we ever master the way we communicate with other people. In other words, I can't communicate to you what my real needs are if I don't know what they are. If I'm just reacting to you, if I'm just responding to you out of anger or upset or frustration, I've got to know what I really want if I'm going to get you to help me to achieve it, and vice versa. I got to understand what you really want if I'm going to meet your needs. And even more importantly, you and I have to realize beyond meeting each other's needs that the way we're feeling about anything in our life is based upon the meaning that we associate to that situation. In other words, nothing in life has any meaning except the meaning we give it. I'll give you an example. The other day I read about a gentleman in Hawaii who was out body surfing off of Kauai, the island of Kauai. And what happened? He was attacked by a shark, and the shark literally bit off one of his legs from just above the kneecap down. Unbelievably gross, unbelievably intense. Now, what does that mean to this man's life? Well, it's going to mean whatever he makes up about it. Whatever he decides it means is going to determine how he feels. Now, what would be a logical meaning based on how most of us in life look at things? Well, most people would say the meaning is he lost something. He lost a leg. He's going to be marred for life. He's going to be scarred for life. Not true for this man. There was an interview done with this man a couple days later, and the reason the interview was done was not just to tell a story, but he requested it because he was very concerned that as a result of the attack on him and the loss of his leg by sharks, that all of a sudden people are going out in the waters and seeking them out and trying to kill them off. And he tried to explain to people on both radio and television interviews that really it wasn't that bad. That the reality is that he was responsible. He knew there were sharks in that water. He knew he shouldn't be water surfing there, that they were just doing what they do naturally. And the bottom line is he had learned an incredible lesson. Oh my gosh, can you believe this? I don't think I would respond quite so healthfully, but I can tell you one thing, it was amazing. This man created a meaning, and it was an empowering meaning for himself. He actually focused on the shark and what was going to happen to sharks because of the situation rather than himself. At our certification last year, on one day, I brought in three people who were incredibly special. A gentleman named Kevin Saunders, one named Mick Davis, and a gentleman named Dax. I brought them all in because they've all been through incredible physical tragedies. One's a paraplegic, one's a quadriplegic, and one's entire body was burned off, all their skin, and was blinded by this experience. And I brought them in because they're some of the most happy, well-adjusted, successful people that I know. They're better off than most people that have all their limbs and all their body intact. They seem to have more joy, more fun, more playfulness. And I brought them in so that everybody else in the room would get one message real clear. You have no problems. You know, if you look at these people and see how happy they are, you know you have no problems. You have no right to feel bad. And the reason they feel good is they have mastered their communication with one person, themselves. They've mastered the meaning they've associated to things. You know, you talk to Kevin Saunders, paraplegic. That's not how he labels himself. He was in a grain elevator accident. And you know what happened? He lost the use of his legs. but he's become a wheelchair athlete. He won a bronze medal in the Olympics and the wheelchair competitions. He's absolutely one of the most inspirational people you ever meet. And he's going out helping kids to stay off drugs and helping other people that are in wheelchairs to understand that, hey, being in a wheelchair doesn't mean that you don't have the same opportunities. In fact, you can get some places faster in a wheelchair than other people can with their legs. He also has a dream to be a leading man in the movies. And he got himself a part alongside Tom Cruise in Born on the 4th of July. I mean, this man is a total inspiration because the meaning of his accident was not that he was marred for life, not that he lost opportunity, but that he was offered a new set of challenges. Mick Davis, when he was a young man, got drunk when he was in high school. And one day, being a top athlete in peak condition, he managed to screw up his entire body by taking a leap off a bridge into what he thought was a full area of water that was only 2 feet deep. He broke his neck and became a quadriplegic for life. What happened? He looked for a deeper meaning in his experience, a deeper meaning in life. And to be around him makes you feel incredible. He's learned how to find the adventure in a smile, how to appreciate even the smallest things in life. He's now an artist. He's a poet. He writes poems with a pencil in his lips. And he does drawings. He has incredible character. He's a demonstration of the power of the human spirit. Dax had his entire body burned off, all of his skin, and he was blinded. And you know what? He's become an attorney since then. He's learned how to give his experience a meaning that is empowering instead of disempowering. This is the first lesson of life that you and I have to master. We can't communicate to anybody else until we first learn how to communicate to ourselves in an empowering way. Now, part of what would make us better at communicating with each other would be if we understood what we're communicating for. See, if you understand why you're doing something, you're usually a lot better at it, aren't you? But think about it. Why do you communicate? See, most people don't know the answer to this question. Recently, I was invited to come into a major Fortune 500 company, and they invited me to come in to speak for a full day. And they said, we'd like you to help us turn around this division. And they talked to me about the division and said it was terrible, and all these people that were in the division were egomaniacs, and they all took advantage of each other, and they were real haughty, and they treated each other lousy. And this is the vice president of the company telling me this. And I said, well, how do you feel about them? He said, well, I think they're jerks. I said, well, we got to start with maybe your vision of who these people are. I said, you got to understand, these people are not jerks. But you know what they do is they're behaving in a way that you don't appreciate and very few people appreciate. In fact, they don't even appreciate each other. I said, but we can turn this around. He said, well, I'm going to tell you that we've had almost everybody come in and talk to these people. Nothing's ever worked. So I thought to myself, boy, this is really inspirational. Why am I coming in here? I thought, well, it'll be a great challenge. And it really worked. And it helped me just to really refine this technology. What I first did, though, is I sat down with all these people and I started finding out, why do you guys communicate? Why do you guys talk to each other? What's the purpose of communication? And then I taught them these technologies for turning around, and it worked like magic. It's really what sold me on using this technology ongoing. But let me ask you the question, same question I asked them. Why do you communicate? Why? Think about it. What do you communicate for? Say it out loud. Say it to me back here on the tape. I'm listening to you. Why do we communicate? Well, some people say, well, I communicate to make a difference. Or I communicate because that's how you learn things. Or I communicate because it makes me grow. Or some people say, I communicate to survive. Or I communicate to get love. Some people say, I communicate to give love. Or maybe you communicate so you can have an impact. Some people communicate to try and control. Some communicate to try and understand things more. Some communicate just to release energy. Some people say, well, I communicate because communication is what life's about. Some people say, well, I communicate so I can build things. Or I communicate so I can create things. Or I communicate to get even. There's all kinds of ways to communicate. Why are you communicating? Why do you do it? Think about it. What's the purpose of communication? Very few people know the answer to this question. See, most of us in life get caught up in a habit of doing something, and we just do it that way over and over again until pretty soon we forgot why we even started, why we're even doing it in the first place. You don't want to become unconscious. Unconscious communication creates pain. It hurts you and it hurts the people around you. So stop and think, why do we communicate? We communicate, I think, for three reasons. Number one, we communicate to create a positive feeling inside of ourselves or to amplify a positive feeling we're already having. In other words, to make it even better. For example, when you're really excited about something, how come you want to tell somebody else about it? Because in telling somebody else about it makes you feel even better, doesn't it? It expands the feeling. It makes it even stronger usually. That's why you want to go out and share a feeling. The reason you want to share your feelings is to make yourself feel better. That's the number one reason, either to feel good right now or to take a good feeling and expand it. The second major reason you communicate is to get rid of negative feelings, to get out of a negative feeling or a negative state. See, why do you go tell someone else how you're feeling? Because you're hoping that, well, in telling them, maybe they'll tell you something back that'll change how you feel. Or if you're angry, you think, well, gosh, if I, you know, let them know how I'm feeling, you know, if I get this out of my system, then maybe I won't feel so bad anymore. So the second major reason we communicate is get out of a negative feeling. And the third reason we communicate is real simple, to create a new result. We don't like the way something's happening. We don't want this to happen. We want to change something. And how do we get ourselves to change something? We communicate it. We communicate it to ourselves. We communicate it to other people. So the purpose of communication is to create a positive feeling or amplify a positive feeling we're already having, or to get rid of a negative feeling or at least lessen it, or three, to create a new result. But I got a question for you. Why do you want to create a new result? Why do you want to change anything? The only reason you want to do anything in your life is because you think if you do that, if you get that sailboat, if you get someone here to start cooperating, you think you'll feel better. Isn't that true? The only reason you try to create new results to make changes is to feel good. Why do you want to get out of that negative feeling? Because you want to feel good. In other words, I can take everything you can ever tell me, whether it's you say I communicate to make a difference. Why? Because making a difference makes you what? Feel good. You say I communicate because I want to share this. Why do you want to share it? Because it makes you feel good. So well, I communicate, you know, in order to contribute. Why do you want to contribute? So you can feel good. I do it to release energy, to get rid of a negative feeling so you could what? Feel good. My question to you is, why do we communicate as human beings? In order to what? Feel good. But the challenge is most of us don't communicate in ways that make us feel good or anybody else. See, Kevin Saunders, Mick Davis, and Dax all know how to communicate to themselves in ways that make them feel good so they can take advantage of their life. You go, yeah, but they're not being very realistic. Neither is that guy with a shark. Oh, yeah? What's realistic? Being stupid? What we have to do is learn to communicate in a way that empowers us to enjoy our life, to take action, to make a difference. And most of us don't communicate to ourselves in a way that makes us feel good. We beat ourselves up. Rarely does that make you change your life and make yourself really do something more effectively. So we've got to learn how to communicate to ourselves first more effectively. Then we can communicate better to other people. But we got to understand our goal is to make ourselves feel good. Secondly, we got to know that if we're going to communicate well to other people, we can't do that by making them wrong, by attacking them, by telling them how screwed up they are. We've got to make sure that we communicate in a way that creates change, but does it in a way that feels good to that other person as well. Not just in the short term, but in the long term. And we're going to talk about both of these elements. But first, let's understand something else. The first step to be able to communicate more effectively is to really get clear on how to communicate within yourself. And in this tape, I'm going to give you something I call a reality check. It's going to be 7 questions I'm going to teach you to ask yourself that when you ask these 7 questions, you'll get clear about what things really mean. You'll get clear about what you really want. And then you'll be able to communicate better to the other people instead of just reacting or responding out of stress. But also, I'd like you to consider something else. And I do this with companies and it works like magic. It's such a simple thing. And it's kind of hard to describe just verbally. You almost have to do it to appreciate it. But let me tell it to you anyway. I teach people that the reason they're not communicating well is because they're in a stress state. Now, to stay out of a stress state, you could say, make your life perfect. That's pretty hard to do. Or you could interrupt your pattern. In other words, when you get stressed, there are certain things you do. Maybe you smoke a cigarette, or all of a sudden you lash out at somebody, or you all of a sudden curse, or maybe you close in and you get real quiet, or you retract your love from somebody. We all have weird patterns of things we do when we get stressed, especially in communication. The way to deal with those patterns is to, number one, identify what they are. So we usually get an exercise where I bring people together and I say, here's step one. And by the way, the exercise I described for them, I'd like you to do it here. The first step is to write down and be honest with yourself, dirt honest. How do you communicate when you are stressed? In other words, what are some of your patterns? What do you do verbally and what do you do non-verbally? You know, what do you say to people when you get angry or stressed? How do you respond to them? And how do you do it non-verbally? What kind of facial expressions? What kind of gestures? What kind of movements? What are some of the things you do? Because see, if you identify this, you'll be aware of it. And all of a sudden, you'll catch yourself doing it and you'll stop it in the future. So step number one is we have people write that down. And step number two is this. After you've written down all the ways you communicate when you're stressed, both verbally and non-verbally, and you've really been honest with yourself, you might get a little chuckle as you take a look at how you really are. Step two is answer this question. How do you try to get leverage on people when you're not getting your way? What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is, you know, let's say there's something that's real important. You're not getting your way and you're stressed out. How do you try to get leverage? Do you get leverage by crying? Do you get leverage by demanding? Do you get leverage and get them to do what you want by pulling rank? Do you do it by getting really intense, making people fearful of you? Do you do it by, you know, acting like it doesn't matter and pretending like, nothing ever matters and being a martyr, what do you do to try and get leverage? You know, what do you do? And be honest with yourself. And I'd like you to take a moment right now and write down the answers to these two questions. Now, if you're in your car, obviously you can't write it down now, but you can, while you're driving, answer these questions in your head. And I want you to do that right now. Take a moment to do it right now. Stop the tape and do it right now. Are you still listening? I said, stop the tape. Come on. Information's not going to change your life. Taking action will change your life. Please do the exercise now. Or if you did stop the tape and you're already back, welcome back. Now, let's continue. Here's what I do in corporations, and I've done it with individuals and found it to be equally valuable, but you got to have a group of people. So you may be able to do this with some of your friends, or you may want to go to work today and try this. Get a group of people together who are committed to really doing this and say, look, we want to find out how we all communicate when we're stressed so we can support each other and not being so stressed and taking care of each other better and getting the results we're really here for and making the whole process more fun. So you have everybody do what you've done so far. Write down all the ways they communicate verbally and non-verbally when they're stressed. Secondly, have them be honest and write down all the ways they try to get leverage on people when they're not getting what they want. And then thirdly, we ask a third question, and that is, how have you communicated well when you've been stressed? I mean, there have been times when you've been stressed and you did communicate well to other people, haven't there? Where, you know, even though you were stressed, you still cared about other people, you still interacted with them, you kept rapport, you may even think made things work. Model yourself. How did you communicate well in that time? And the last question is, how would you communicate even better in the future if you wanted to? You just get people thinking. See, if you focus on even the most simple question, ask and you shall receive, you'll get a good answer. Now, here's what makes the exercise fun. After they've all done this on paper, we'll get a group of, let's say, five people together, and we'll have a person stand up. One of them stands up in front of the group, and we pre-frame everybody and tell them, this must be a fun exercise. You must have fun with this. This cannot be serious. If it is, we will come find you. So the bottom line is you got to play with this, and you're not to make anybody wrong in this process. So the first person gets up, and their goal is to put a very sheepish grin on their face and answer the first question where they say, well, the way I used to communicate when I was stressed was... And they tell everybody. And everybody there kind of grins and laughs and teases and harasses them about it. Then the second question they answer is, well, the way I used to try and get leverage on people when I wasn't getting my way was... And then they tell everybody that with a sheepish grin on their face. And again, everybody teases and harasses them. Then they go to the third question. And the third question here is they'll say, the way I think you guys see me when I'm stressed is... Now, we tell people in this exercise... It might be smart for you to tell people exactly how you think they see you and not to pull any punches, because they probably won't. Because the fourth question you're to ask is, how do you guys see me when I'm stressed? Usually when most of these people get to the third step, they go, I think you guys see me as an absolute jerk. And people start laughing hysterically and they go, well, now that you mention it, yeah, it does come across that way at times. And what happens is you have people that maybe are angry with each other, but when they see this other person doing a caricature of themselves, talking about how they were being a jerk or ridiculous or dumb or whatever the case may be, laughter comes in. And boy, laughter sure changes human communication. And what also happens is the person finishes the exercise by saying, in the future when I'm stressed, here's how I'm going to communicate to you guys, and I want your help. If you see me not doing this, you have permission to come to me and say, hey, would you communicate the way we talked about in that seminar? And I'd like to have permission that if I'm stressed to come to you and ask for your help. What this creates is a bond. Again, it works with a family as powerfully as it does inside a corporation. And if you really do it all out, and it doesn't take much to do it because it starts to be fun. And when it's fun, people do a lot more of it. What happens is two things occur. Number one, you start identifying your own patterns. And when you start making fun of yourself in those areas, you'll catch yourself in the future and you'll even laugh at yourself. That'll stop the stress pattern and cause you to communicate so much more effectively that things will really work between you and the people you're talking with. And secondly, you'll catch each other doing this. And we all need a little help because we all get off track. I don't care how great a communicator we are. So if we really want to master our life, one thing we gotta do is master the patterns of communicating that we have when we're stressed and create some better patterns, ones that empower us. Now let's go a step further than this. Beyond stress, what else keeps us from really having a communication that works between two people? In other words, if we want to make sure communication really works, where it makes each person feel good and it creates a new result in our lives, in our business, in our family, in our relationship. The only way we'll make sure that communication works is if we understand that communication only fails to work when two different people have a different reality about something. Now, what do I mean by that? When two people get together and they feel very strongly about what something means and they have a different idea of what something means. Some people have managed to lose a leg or an arm or something like that, and they're not upset. Why? because the meaning to them is not loss. In other words, what happens to most people? Most people's emotion, whatever it is, starts with a sense of loss. They feel like they've lost respect, or they've lost love, or the person doesn't care as much about them anymore, and they convert that loss into a feeling of being hurt. And then they convert that hurt into anger. And then sometimes they express it, and sometimes they keep it in, and eventually for many people this becomes depression, because they don't deal with it. Well, most of our losses are made up in our head. It's because the meaning we linked. Hey, this guy who lost his leg by the shark does not have a sense of loss, and he's not depressed, and he's not angry, he's not even hurt, just because he mastered the meaning within himself. But the problem is somebody will get with him and go, what's the matter with you? Have you lost track of reality? What's the matter with you? You lost your leg. And I'll sit there and try and get him to their idea of reality. See, if you've ever had an upset with somebody else, if your communication has ever broken down, it's either because you're just stressed or it's because you and this other person have a different perception of reality in this moment. You have a different meaning you've attached to the same situation. One person thinks doing something is wrong. Another person thinks doing it is right. And that is where the communication breaks down. So how do we turn it around? The answer is we build a bridge, what I call a reality bridge. A reality bridge is a way for us to realize that, hey, the reason we're communicating, the reason we're doing this, even though we both have different views on this, is because we want to make life better for each other. We want to make our business better for each other. We want to stay connected. We want to build a bridge that causes us to continue to feel good about each other while we look for a solution that helps us to bridge our realities. How do I take all this verbalization and make it simple? Let's start with this. There are a couple of core beliefs that you need to have about other people if you want to communicate well. If you have these beliefs, what will happen is you'll interpret people's behaviors in a way where you don't judge people, where you don't hold a reality that's so different from them that you can't have any rapport. See, I can tell you right now how to destroy communication for the rest of your life with anybody. It's very simple. All you got to do is judge people. All you got to do is make people wrong. See, here's the cardinal rule that you must never violate if you want a relationship to last, if you want communication to be strong between you and another person. And that is simply this. Never, never, ever question another person's intent. You can question all day long my behaviors, whether they're the best behaviors or the right behaviors in a situation. But if you question whether or not I was doing it for the right reasons, like I was doing it just to hurt you or because I don't care about you, what do you think that does to the way I feel towards you? Well, number one thing it does, it makes me have a sense of loss. It makes me feel hurt. Like, how could you think that way about me? Obviously, I care about you. And if you keep fighting and you keep attacking, pretty soon you can destroy that communication with that person, maybe even destroy the relationship if you're not careful. Remember what I said earlier? What you say in the heat of a moment may not be forgotten by some people forever. Some people bring that up for years and years and years. So you don't want to question people's intent. How can we get around that? Again, by interpreting human beings and human behavior in a whole new way and by adopting some new beliefs. And here's the first belief you need to operate from if you want to build quality communication from now on. And that is simply this. People are not their behaviors. See, if somebody does something, it isn't necessarily who they are or what they're about. Have you ever done something yourself where after you did it, you said, I can't believe I said that or I did it? Of course you have. And have you ever done it and been embarrassed? You ever said to yourself, gosh, I wish I hadn't said that or treated that person this way. That's not really me. That's not what I'm about. Come on, have you ever done that? I bet you have. And the reality is you weren't being yourself in that moment. You are not your behaviors, certainly more than your behaviors. You're more than your mind or anything else. And so if you're that way, aren't other people the same? So you can't you look at other people and say, I don't like that behavior. But see, if you attack a person individually, you got a problem. Because we all respond to attacks usually by following back with an attack of our own. We defend or we deny or we push back even harder than the person pushed at us. See, if somebody does something that appears to you to be vicious, the first thing you might want to do is use a softer word. Maybe it wasn't vicious. Maybe it was unkind. And secondly, that doesn't mean they're an unkind person. That doesn't mean you should make excuses for them or let them continue to do it. But you don't want to judge somebody. Judging someone destroys communication. It breaks down the lines of communication. Nobody wants to be judged, least of all you. So make sure you give to other people what you want. Give people the benefit of the doubt. And know that if they did something that appears to be selfish, it doesn't mean they're selfish. Don't generalize about people or your communication will be destroyed. Secondly, remember the core belief that people are always doing the best they can with the resources they have. Meaning, if this person in front of you is not doing their job and they keep screwing up and you're really upset with them, you need to stop and say, ah, this person's doing the best they can with the resources they have. They're not an unresourceful person. They're probably in an unresourceful state. And it'll help you to remember that what you need to do is change their state and not judge the person. Thirdly, Remember the belief that no matter how thin you slice it, there are always two sides. When you're starting to feel really righteous, like you're really judging somebody, like they're really screwing up and you're doing the right things, remember the phrase, no matter how thin I slice it, there are always two sides. There's another view to this, no matter how strongly you feel. And the major belief I want you to remember is this one. And this is a belief that can instantaneously transform the way you interact and communicate to anyone for the rest of your life, especially in stressful situations. And by the way, it's a belief that comes from a book called A Course in Miracles, which I read years ago. And this month, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Gerald Jampolsky and his partner, Diane Cerincione. They head up the Center for Attitudinal Healing. The foundation of most of their work comes from A Course in Miracles. So I think you'll get a chance to be exposed to the book and the teachings, which I think you'll really appreciate. But anyway, here is the core belief. The core belief that really transformed my communication years ago is simply this. Remember, in any human communication, the response you get from someone is either a loving response or a cry for help. Now, I know this sounds a little crazy, especially when somebody comes to you and says things like, you're really upsetting me, and they scream at you. It's hard for us to stop and say, well, that's a cry for help. But the truth is, if we'll just remember and operate from this belief, it'll really empower us. When people are angry, remember from what we learned about emotions, they're not really angry. What they really are is they have a sense of hurt, and they feel hurt because they have a sense of loss. What you got to realize is when somebody yells or they're upset or they're frustrated, what they're really doing is they're crying out for help. They're saying, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I'm hurt, I need some help. And if we hear that, if we really see that someone is crying for help, that they're not angry with us, that they're upset inside, we can communicate back to them in a way that's really more empowering. We won't take it personally. And if you don't take things personally, you're less liable to turn back and attack back. But you know what the problem is? Most of us respond to a cry for help with a cry for help. You know, recently I had an experience with my mom that was rather interesting. I don't know, maybe I shared this with you before, but I don't think I've shared it with you in this kind of detail. What happened was, I got a phone call from my mom recently. The background on the story I should tell you first, I guess, which is, you know, at my household, things are absolutely out of control. We not only have a couple hundred calls coming in each day from me at the office, but we've also getting now between 50 and 125 of them at home each day. So obviously I've got my secretaries at the office and I also have my assistants at home all trying to flag down all the calls, figure out who it is and figure out how I can get back to everybody. It's a bit of a challenge to say the least. Well, in the midst of all this, I guess my mom called a few times, two or three times before I got the message. Well, you can imagine by about the third or fourth time, whatever it really was, she got into a rather unique state and left me a message on the machine one night in the middle of the night saying, my son is not the president of the United States. I would like to speak to him directly instead of these machines and secretaries. If he cares at all, he should call me. Otherwise, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. Or something like that. I'm probably paraphrasing. The bottom line is, I got so angry. And I called her up livid. Now, why was I angry? Because the anger came because I said, the meaning of this is she doesn't respect me. How could she question my intent? Remember the thing I said never to question? How could she even question what I'm really about, what I care or not? I mean, think of all the things I do for her, all the things I try and do for her, and all the communication, all that we do. And I got on the phone, and boy, I let her have it. Do you think that made things better? No. What did I do? I responded to her cry for help, saying, hey, I want to connect with you, and I'm frustrated, and I'm upset, and I love you, and I need to hear from you. I responded to that with anger by coming up my own cry for help, saying, how dare you do this, and on and on and on, and all these things I do for you, which I was really saying, hey, you hurt my feelings. Please tell me something that makes me feel like you really care and that this isn't really what's true. But you know what? Neither one of us figured that out for a few minutes. We just responded back and forth to each other with tons of anger, you know, and that doesn't work. Our relationship didn't get better during those few minutes, but fortunately, we love each other, and we have a strong enough bridge. What's that? I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Remember I told you this thing was called reality bridging? I'll teach you what the bridge is in a moment. Just a little hook to make sure you're listening. And the bottom line is, we went back to this bridge, this emotional connection that we obviously always have, and we remembered why we're communicating with each other. Why do we communicate? We're communicating because we want to make each other feel good. We want to feel good, and we want the other person to feel good. Why was she calling me originally? Because she wanted to share some stuff with me, because, you know, she wanted to connect with me, because she loves me. And why do I want to communicate with her? For the same darn reasons. And we got out of our stress and our reactions and stopped screaming for help and started to realize that, hey, you know, the bottom line is we both love each other and there's just some kind of miscommunication here. Let's go back to what's real, which is our relationship. And things turned around. Now, have you ever been guilty of this? I know I have. I know that almost everybody I know has. We got to stay out of the stress. We got to stop assuming what things mean. that always gets us in trouble. And when somebody comes at us with intensity in communication, we got to step aside, not let it hit us, and say to ourselves, this person is crying for help. They're frustrated, they're angry, they're upset. They need me to come by and meet their needs. They need somebody to say, hey, it's okay. They need somebody to say, I'll help you. They need somebody to say, I hear you. I'm listening to you. I want your needs to be met. I'm sorry this happened. It's not my intent. Here's what's really true. People are just asking for clarification. So what we want to make sure is, no matter what somebody does, when they go crying for help, respond back in a loving way. Because I got to tell you something. If you respond back to somebody in a warm and loving way, even when they treat you harshly, they'll remember that. They'll remember that even though they were harsh with you, you were warm with them. And in the future, it'll make them treat you better and it'll create an even deeper bond in your relationship. And that's true whether it be in business or whether it be in a one-on-one personal relationship as well. And by the way, what screws up businesses is people making up meanings. They notice that, let's say, the boss didn't show up for a certain meeting and then they assume it's because he didn't care. Nobody bothered to ask the question. I wonder what's going on in his personal life that may have made this happen. Or I wonder if there's something else he's working on that's going to affect this meeting. People don't do that. People most often assume and get upset. I saw a television interview being done on the news the other day with several auto workers at a GM plant. And the news was saying that some people thought that GM would probably close that plant in the next couple of years. Now, GM has not made any statements that it's going to close the plant. It's never made any overtures to it. It was just anticipation. And they interviewed some of the workers and asked them about how they feel about this. And you know what? They were unbelievably upset. Why? They had a sense of loss about something that hadn't even happened yet and may not even happen. Not only that, but the way they describe things is that they were incredibly angry with GM. They felt betrayed by General Motors. Now, General Motors isn't trying to betray them. General Motors hasn't even said they would close the plant, and if they did, would it be out of betrayal or would it be to survive, to keep the company going so other people could also stay employed? But see, what most people do is they lash out. When their expectations aren't met, they blame somebody else. Blame is the way we destroy communication. Don't assume. Look for another meaning. Now, aren't there people, though, in your life that in spite of your stress, in spite of all the stupid meanings you could make up in your head about things, that somehow through it all, they'll always be your friend and the upsets will never last long term? Like my mom and I, we have that relationship, right? I mean, don't you have certain family members or certain friends or certain business associates that, you know, come heck or high water? Doesn't matter what happens, you will always come back to that relationship with that person. You'll always make the communication work in the long term. Who's somebody like that, that there's no question in your mind that your relationship, your communication will always be good with? Think about it. Who would it be? Now, as you think of the answer to that person, I got a question for you. Why will your communication always work with that person? Why? What will make your communication always work with that person? I'll tell you what I think the answer is. You made a decision a long time ago about who that person really is. You decided this is a good person. This is a person who really loves me. This is a person I really love. They would never do anything purposely to take advantage of me, to rip me off, to try and cheat me in some way. They would never do it consciously. I mean, if they did something and it hurt me in some way, it certainly wasn't their intent. In other words, you built a bridge of reality with this person. You decided in your heart who this person was, how they felt about you, and you decided never, ever again to question their intent. That's the critical key to long-term communication working. See, my relationship with my mom is that way, or my friends. I have a good friend, Bob Bays. You know something? Somebody could tell me something that Bob Bays said about me, and I would never believe it. My first assumption would be that this person who's told me this is either confused, or what they heard is distorted, deleted, or generalized, or they have some kind of secondary gain to try and get me upset with Bob. I would never, ever, ever assume that Bob Bays was trying to do something that would hurt me. I would never question his intent. I wouldn't even consider the possibility. Now, if they kept on giving me information like this and it appeared it was even true, like I got some kind of physical evidence that he said something about me that was derogatory, what I would do, I might feel mad for a second, but I would immediately come back to, well, there's something here I don't know. There's something here I don't understand. Or Bob was in a stressed state and he doesn't really mean it. Or if I tell Bob how I feel about this, I know he'll feel differently. I know he wouldn't communicate that way. In other words, I always assume the best with this person. And if you want communication work for a lifetime, here's the key. Decide the people around you who they really are, that they really care about you, that they really are committed to you, that you're really committed to them, and don't ever question their intent. You can question their behavior. Say, you know, this didn't feel good to me. But you can't question their intent. Because if you say, hey, I think you did this just to hurt me or rip me off or to take advantage of me, that's when you start wounding people in a way that they'll never forget or may never forget. The truth is we can forget anything. If we can forget where our keys are, we can certainly forget anything. But the bottom line is most people don't try to forget. What most people do is try to hang on to things and feel bad about them for a long time. You don't want to give people ammunition to do that in a way that hurts you and hurts your relationship. You must realize that the way people develop a relationship and maintain a relationship long term, one where there's great communication, great emotion, great feelings, one that's truly successful, is you have to create a bond. They build a bridge. Because people who have different realities all the time, you're going to get different views of things. Something happens that gets you upset and you have one perception and somebody else has another one. The way you have a relationship that's long-term is you build a permanent bridge between you that says, even if we have two different realities, there's always this connection between us, this connection that we always go back to, an emotional bond, a bridge. And we're going to always come back to that place if we start to get upset with each other. We'll get out of our stress states and remember the connection that's always there. Remember who we really are and what we really mean to each other. See, that's where the bond comes from. That's the bridge. And we got to race back to that bridge when there are problems. Not get caught up in the problem, but come back to our feeling of connection with that person and say, look, I need your help. I have a different view than you do on this one. How can we work this out? See, whenever you try and clarify, instead of making things wrong, you start to build a bridge even stronger. You have to build a bridge so strong that nothing can ever shake it. So sturdy. And that sturdiness comes from just deciding you'll never question this person's intent ever again. You may not like their behavior. You may not like their view, but you'll always know the intent is one to empower you and themselves, that they really care no matter what. That's what makes a relationship last long term. And we've got to do that in business as much as we have to in a one-on-one personal relationship, as much as we do with our children. One of the things I did with a company I talked about when we started this tape, the company that having so many challenges, everybody hated each other, is I got them to do a process that made them all feel totally connected, where they began to understand that they're all really working for the same desires, the same designs. They're trying to make some of the same things happen. And there was a dramatic change once that bond was built. And by the way, it doesn't take long to build a bond. It requires a decision. And we've got a lot of processes to do that. I can't talk about those on tape or we'll be here all day. But you know enough things on your own to make those bonds more solid. And the first thing is just decide to feel connected to that person no matter what the evidence on the outside appears to be to the contrary. No matter what happens, in other words, decide you're not going to question their intent. Now, some people say to me, well, how do you build that bond? What if you build the bond? What if you build this bridge, this emotional connection with this person, and you feel this connection is going to be there, and then one day they disappoint you? You're going to be disappointed, I can guarantee you. There are going to be people you're going to misjudge. You're going to think they're a great person, you're going to be wrong. Is that a reason to never build an emotional bridge with people again, to always question people's intent? If you do that, you'll have destroyed your life. See, there are going to be times when you build a bridge and it doesn't work, but most of the time it's going to work. And the reason I use the metaphor of a bridge is I want you to think in terms of when you get stressed, when you get upset, when you get angry, remember, why are we communicating? Because I want to feel good and I want them to feel good and I want to create some new results. Come back to the bridge, that emotional connection. Remember, I know this person really is. They're not their behavior. They're not how they're acting right now. Who they are is more than how they're behaving or treating me. My assumptions about them are not true because I know who they really are. Come back to the bridge. Now, some people, well, they got to cross the bridge first. No, that's not how it works. You race for the bridge. Your job is to see who can get across the bridge and reconnect fastest. You start getting upset with somebody, your job is to remember who this person really is and race back to there and say, you know, I'm sorry I'm upset with you. I know who you really are. I know you'd never do something like this, but I just need to understand what you're trying to accomplish here. Help me out. And immediately you can reestablish the connection. Now, everything I've been sharing with you up until now, I've only been doing to get to this point where I could share with you a tool I've developed that really has changed my life and it's worked incredibly well in businesses and in personal relationships. And I call it a reality check. What's its purpose? Well, remember, we said that all communication upsets come down to either being stressed or creating a meaning inside of our head that's not true, a disempowering meaning, one that makes us upset or judge somebody or feel a sense of loss with them. And it's not true, it's not accurate. And we all do it. So how do you deal with stress? How do you deal when you're upset, when your expectations aren't met? Well, you do it one of two ways, probably. Either keep it inside and don't change it, just keep it inside and suppress it, which eventually all it does is it comes out as you being upset with that person, or it comes out with you making them wrong and laying blame. And if not to them personally, you do it inside your head, and maybe you complain to other people and create a cancer within an organization because you find other people's expectations aren't met, and then you get together in subgroup and destroy everything within a company or within a family. You can't do that. It hurts you and it hurts the people around you. Or the other approach is not to do it internally, but to just unload on somebody. You get upset about something, how dare you do this to me? The fact that you're saying they did something to you shows that you've made up a meaning that probably isn't true. They probably didn't do anything to hurt you. They're probably just trying to get a result and didn't notice the impact or didn't anticipate it. You know, don't go around saying I'm betrayed by somebody till you talk to them first to find out what are they trying to accomplish. So what is this reality check? It's a tool I've developed to help you to get absolutely clear on what do you really want and need out of a situation. See, if you unload on somebody, you can unload and still not feel good at the end because you haven't been able to communicate your real needs. All you've done is try to get something off your chest, and oftentimes that's not enough. It doesn't work. You still feel empty. In fact, you may even feel bad about unloading and being angry with somebody. So this is a tool, a set of questions that you're going to want to use every single time you go to communicate with somebody an upset you have. These seven questions of the reality check will be the antidote to your being upset. Because again, most of the time we're upset, it's because of a meaning we've made up that may not be true. And even if it is true, these seven questions will help you to be able to communicate what do you really need to make things feel good for you. Because again, the purpose of communicating is to feel good. If you want to feel good, you better know what it's going to take to make you feel good. So let's get right into it. Here are the seven questions of the reality check. Ask them every time you have an upset before you communicate to the person you think you're upset with. Question number one, am I willing to learn something valuable from this? And am I willing to do something right now to make this better? The first question you want to do, let's say you're really upset. Somebody does something, you say, that makes me so angry. I'm so upset with this person. First thing you want to do a reality check. Before you do anything else, before you communicate your upset to them or suppress it, ask yourself the first question. Am I willing to learn something valuable from this, and am I willing to do something now to make it better? A sub-question of that you might want to ask if you're still upset is, will making this person wrong make them want to help me to make things better? I doubt it. The second question is simply this. What is it that's really upsetting me in this situation? In other words, ask the question, what is the specific meaning that I've linked to this? And a way to get this out of your head is to say the phrase, the meaning I link to this situation is blank. Let me give you an example of how I first came up with these questions to be able to change the way I felt, which is really their purpose, and allow me to communicate my needs more effectively. One night, I was with a group of my partners, and we were working on solutions to helping corporations and individuals to really communicate more effectively. And that's where a lot of this reality bridging technology came out of. And I got on a roll, and my brain started floating out all these ideas and strategies and questions and answers, and I started going like crazy, and they put on these tape recorders, and by the time I was done, 2.5 hours later, we all agreed, boy, we have really got something here. This is invaluable. This will really work. So I turned to one of my assistants in the room, and I said, now what I need you to do is get this transcribed tomorrow morning, because I'm going to be in seminar all day. And the following morning, I need to be able to teach this stuff. So I need to have an outline based on all this stuff. And I don't remember it all unless I get to see it again. So I said, whatever it takes, tomorrow morning, you make sure you get this done or you come see me if there's any problem. She said, okay, no problem. Well, the next day I got up and did my seminar. Well, I finished the seminar that night about 7 o'clock at night. I was pretty tired and exhausted. I've been gone for about 3 straight weeks without a break. And I knew how to get up the next morning and crank. And I knew it was all new material. And I was going to assimilate it that night. And I knew I was going to be up pretty late as it was. So I wasn't in the best of states to start with. Well, then I couldn't find this lady who was supposed to give me this material. So I'm looking for her. And I finally went up to one of the other secretaries and some assistants there. And I said, hey, where's this person? You know, I said, I need to get my notes from that dictation I did last night. And they said, well, haven't you heard? I said, heard what? They said, well, it didn't get done. I said, what? They said, well, it didn't get done. I don't know what it was, but, it just didn't work out. I said, didn't work out? I said, I told her no matter what to make sure she communicated to me. And they said, chance to manage your state. And I thought, chance to manage your physiology, right? I was pretty upset. You ever had somebody do that with you? I said, I was managing my state at 3 o'clock in the morning when you guys were sleeping. I said, I need this thing. I can't believe it didn't get done. And I was really upset, but I didn't communicate it. I kept it inside. So I went into a meeting about an hour later, and there was this assistant of mine, hadn't done the job. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to use what I remember from the night before. And you know what? It didn't work. That's why I changed the technology, because I found out in the most intense situations it didn't work. It didn't work for me, so it's probably not going to work for anybody else. So the benefit of that situation is I found a new way of communicating, and I came up with some of these questions. And the first question was, hey, I'm upset right now, but that's not making it better. Am I willing to learn something right now that's valuable, and am I willing to do something now to make this better? My answer was yes. Will making this person wrong make them want to help me or make me a better person? Answer's obviously no. So then I went to my second question. What is it that's really upsetting me in this situation? What's the specific meaning I link to this? So I said, well, the meaning I link to this person doesn't care as much as I do. The meaning I link to this is I can't count on them. The meaning I link to this is they made a commitment to me and they broke their word. The meaning I link to this is I'm going to be up all night now. I mean, literally 3 or 4 in the morning because I got to start all over. The meaning I link to this is I've lost all that material I created and I whip myself into a frenzy. Now, by the way, what I've discovered by teaching this process is that when people are upset, they haven't usually just linked one meaning. They've stacked a bunch of negative meanings to get upset. Think about it for yourself. Has that been true? When you try these questions, I think you're going to find it is. So then I went to question number 3. Could this be a misperception or a misinterpretation on my part? Well, probably not, but anything's possible. Question number 3 also I've added is, do I have all the information possible in order for me to know absolutely exactly what this really means? Obviously, I've designed the question so that you'll say no. And the answer is no. I don't know all the possible information to know exactly what this means. All of a sudden, I'm not feeling so certain about my upset. All of a sudden, I'm starting to say, well, it's possible it's a misperception. I can't be so upset when I'm saying it's possible I'm misperceiving this. 4th question, what else could this mean? Remember, upsets come out of the meaning we create. So what we need to do is say, okay, if it's possible this is a misperception, if it's possible it's a misinterpretation, if I don't have all the information possible, what else could this mean? And you know what? When you answer question 4, it's real important that you come up with some new meanings that are more empowering. Maybe some things you hadn't thought of before. And these will help change your state, change the way you feel, and therefore you'll communicate better to somebody. You won't go out making them wrong. Because we've all had times when we went and said, you did this, and that means this, and found out we were wrong. And then we feel pretty sheepish and pretty silly. So what else could this mean? And you know, I taught this to a group of people. One of my own ADLs said to me, you know, why don't you make it so the person has to come up with one more positive meaning than they'd made up in negative meanings in question number 2. So I thought that's a good idea. So that's what I did. Well, what else could this mean? Well, it could mean that not that she doesn't care, not that she isn't committed, but maybe what it means is maybe I've overloaded her. You know, maybe what it means is I've given her way too much to do. Maybe what it means is she really did try to do this and I just don't know something. Something else intervened. Maybe it means that the tape didn't work. Maybe she hired somebody to do it and they didn't do the job and she didn't find out in time. Maybe it really is done and I just don't know it because I haven't talked to her yet. But that's even possible, I guess. Maybe those other girls were wrong. Maybe I misinterpreted what they said. And sure enough, all of a sudden now, guess what? I'm not feeling so upset anymore. I'm feeling a little more uncertain. And being uncertain is a better place to be because it means now when you communicate, you'll try and get some clarification from that person rather than making them wrong. See, it'll work. Question number 5. This is a very important question. What do I need in order to feel good now? Remember, what's the purpose of communication? To feel good. How are you going to feel good? Find out what it's going to take for you to feel good. So my question again, number 5 is, what do I need in order to feel good now? And I've given myself 8 possibilities. 1, do I need to change my perception about this? My brain went, well, probably. 2, do I need to find out more information? Yes. 3, do I need to understand this person's viewpoint? Why they did this? Yeah, I need to know why. If I understood why, I probably wouldn't be so upset. 4, do I need to know this person really cares for me? Or just remember that they do? And I thought, well, I know they do. 5, do I need to get a commitment from this person? Yes, I needed them to commit that in the future, if I say this, it gets done. 6th, do I need to change the way we're doing something? Yes, in order to feel good now, I need to know that in the future this will work. So we need to change the way we get things done in this process. 7, do I need to apologize for this person? I thought that's an interesting question I never thought of. Maybe I need to apologize for being upset without really knowing what was really going on. Maybe I need to apologize for assuming. Maybe, you know, I tell them, you know, I'm really sorry. I got upset with you and I had no right to because I didn't know all the information. Boy, that's a state changer, isn't it? And the last one I came up with under number 5, the 8th question is, do I need to just remember who this person really is, what an incredible relationship we have, and how much I really love them? I thought, yeah, I really do love this person. Guess what? I lost all my intensity. Guess what? I'm now in a state where I could communicate more effectively because I know what I really need. What do I need to feel good? I need to change my perception a little bit. I need to find out some more information. I need to understand a little bit of why they did it. I need to know they care about me and just remember that. I need a commitment. We need to change some of the process. Maybe I need to apologize and maybe I just need to remember who they are. Go back to the bridge. Question number 6. How can I communicate my needs in a way that truly empowers my relationship with this person? Now, unfortunately, this is a question not too many people ask in communications, especially when they're upset. And remember, what screws up human communication? When people get stressed, when they get upset. And one of the things that happens is we don't stop to think about how we're communicating. Why are we communicating again? Because we want to feel good. And if we want to feel good long term, we got to make sure other people feel good as well. So the best thing we can do to really meet our needs is find out what are our needs, and then how can we communicate them in a way that truly empowers our relationship? Because we don't want to just feel good in the moment. We want to maintain our relationship and have it expand and grow. So what are your options? Well, if you don't ask this question, your options are to go with what you do automatically. And what you do automatically is either just keep it inside and build up till you explode, or maybe what you do is you just unload on people along the way or dump on people. You don't want to do that. That kind of communication won't work for you. And we all do it, and we all make the mistake. But what we want to do is do it a lot less often. And this reality check is exactly what it says. It's a checklist. Just like if I'm going to take off on my helicopter, there's certain things I want to check on each time because it's real important. If you have an important relationship, before you respond, you want to go through these questions. And this one's critical. So when I start asking myself, okay, how could I communicate this to her in a way where I could really empower my relationship, I started to come up with ways of doing it. And I thought, well, if I make her wrong again, obviously that's not going to empower the relationship. If I attack her, that's not going to work. If I ignore it, it's not going to get any better. You know, I got to be sincere. I got to be honest. How could I do this? So I started thinking, okay, if I went to this woman, I said, I need your help. I think that would change the way she responds. And if I said, I have to talk to you about something, I'm very upset about it. Or if I said, we need to talk. That doesn't set people up to be able to hear you very well. So I thought, that's one good approach. She's really a great lady. She really wants to support. And if I ask for her help, she probably will help me. Secondly, I thought, well, if I tell her how I felt, she may still interpret that as making her wrong. So what I need to do is make it clear that when this situation happened the other day, I misinterpreted something. In other words, I need to give her the benefit of the doubt since I don't know what's really going on. And thirdly, I thought, you know, what am I really doing? I just need to get some clarification. So that's what I should talk to her about. Not that I have to, you know, straighten something out, but I just need to clarify something. Clarifying feels a lot lighter than straightening everything out. So my strategy when I come to answer this question of how can I communicate my needs in a way that truly empowers my relationship is, number one, I take a look at when to communicate it. I want to be intelligent. I want to do it when they're stressed out of their mind and they won't be able to hear me. Two, I don't want to say, we need to talk. I want to come to the person and say, you know, I need your help. You know, the other day, and be real specific, the other day when this situation happened, I misinterpreted that to mean that you really didn't care. And you know what? I know that's not true. Why would you say that? Why would you say, I know that's not true? Because you want to make sure this person understands you appreciate them and you don't ever question their intent. So I say, I know that's not true. And what I just need from you is some clarity as to why this thing didn't get done, because, you know, I just don't understand. And she looked at me and she just softened. You could see her shoulders just drop. And I said, you know, last night when we talked and this thing was supposed to get done on the dictation, and, you know, my misinterpretation was I made it really clear that it had to be done. And when it didn't happen, I misinterpreted that to mean that, you know, you weren't as committed as I am to get the project done. And, you know, I know that's not true because I know who you are. I know how committed you are. But I just need some clarification because it's a little frustrating to me as to what really happened. She said, you know, thank you so much for saying this way, because she said, you know, I've really been dreading talking to you about this. She says, I feel really bad, but she said, the truth of the matter is, I did go to get it done, and we hired a local firm here to transcribe it, and they didn't get it done because they couldn't understand the tape. They didn't understand some of your terminology, so they just decided not to do it, and I didn't find out till about 4:30 in the afternoon, and you were going on stage at 5, so I thought I probably shouldn't tell you right before you got on stage, where you'd be thinking you're going to be up all night. I was trying to support you. Boy, I felt pretty stupid. Pretty sheepish. She said, I know I should have told you. And she said, I should have been there afterwards to tell you. She said, you know, but I got pulled out of the meeting and these other girls told you, and they told you in a way I feel really bad about. She said, you know, I would do anything to support you. I'll stay up all night if necessary to get this thing done. I said, well, gosh, you know, I really appreciate the clarification, and I'm really sorry I even thought those negative thoughts. And, you know, we do need to do something in the future so this never happens again. She goes, yeah, I know, I should have followed up. I said, nah, you know, I wouldn't have thought of it. And all of a sudden, I'm defending her, you know? And that's the neat thing about communication. See, what I found, what most people do is, when most people get communicated to, like if you come to most people and say, you know, I'm concerned about this, or I need your help, or worse, you know, you screwed up here. What most people do is either deny it, or they justify it and saying, well, it wasn't my fault, or they blame you for it. They turn around and say, it's your fault, you didn't communicate it strongly enough. Do any one of these three approaches really work? See, most of us in life, we just want somebody to take responsibility. If they take responsibility, we won't be hard on them at all. It's just like, do you remember years ago when Richard Nixon did not take any responsibility for Watergate? How many years did people stay upset with him? or Ronald Reagan for the first, what was it, almost 6 months to a year after the Iran-Contra affair, till finally he got on national television and said, you know, I didn't make the decisions, but I am captain of the ship. I am responsible. And all the heat came off of him. Or John F. Kennedy, who did it immediately after the Bay of the Pigs, where he got up and said, you know what? I'm responsible. We screwed up. It's like people got off his case immediately. But what most people do is if somebody comes to you and says, I need your help, or I'm upset with you, or they try to communicate, if you try and defend, if you try and justify or blame them, it's just going to get into something terrible. Instead, you know, allow for the possibility that what you did had a negative impact on them, even though it wasn't your intent. And apologize for that impact. That really will allow people to say, listen, you know, I'm really sorry this affected you this way. It certainly wasn't my intent. You know, let me tell you what I'd be willing to do to make it work for you because I'm committed to supporting you. People can hear that. That's all part of answering this question. How can I communicate in a way that really empowers my relationship? Communicate what you need by asking for clarification and asking for help. And here's the final question. Question number 7. And by the way, it's one of my favorite questions in life. I ask this all the time. It's the foundation to really staying happy in your life and finding value in anything. And that is, what's great about this? I ask myself, what's really great about this situation? I thought, well, what's great about it is, sometimes my brain goes, nothing. But I said, well, what could be great about this if I wanted something to be great about it? And my brain said, what's great about this is I developed a whole other technology all because of this challenge. All because of this situation, I developed something that was much better than what I had asked somebody to transcribe the night before. Now, that's not an excuse for anybody listening not to follow through and say, well, gosh, look at all the good things that came out of you're not getting what you needed. But on the other hand, if you want to find something good in any situation, you always can. All you got to do is look for it. All you got to do is focus on it, and questions focus our minds. So what's great about this? What's great about this is it's a chance to even get closer to her. What's great about this is a chance for me to reaffirm my faith even more in this person that I can count on her in the future. What's great about this is seeing how committed she really is. What's great about this is for me to really appreciate the people I have around me even more. All of a sudden, the situation only a few minutes before had me in near rage has now got me really excited about the possibilities that it can generate for my future. Now, by the way, did I do this reality check like one time and now, you know, I never ever get upset? Of course. I'm just, you know, one of those kind of people. Not hardly. Like everybody else, things happen. And when they happen, sometimes I get upset. My upset is always about what? The meaning that I've made up about the situation. And again, remember, it's not usually one meaning, it's stacked meanings. The other day I was in San Francisco and I was having a meeting with some of my partners, actually, in our television show. And we sat there in the morning and, you know, first of all, I'd been on the road for a while and I was pretty physically burnt out and real, real tired. And sure enough, your state certainly affects the way you evaluate things. So I got up early in the morning, ran down there and had this breakfast meeting with these guys. And we're planning out one of our next TV shows together. And well, while we're doing this thing, I'm cranking like crazy and I get on a roll. And all of a sudden, one of my partners gets up while I'm talking and walks out of the room. And it's like, what we're talking about was real important. And I was putting it across and I was laying out the syntax and the design, all these things, and I was bouncing off with the other two guys. And he was gone. He didn't come back. It seemed like forever. I don't know how long it really was, but it seemed like at least an hour, 30 minutes to an hour. Probably it was 15 or 20, but it felt like an hour. And when he got back, you know, I felt really irritated by it. You know, a smidge annoyed, you might say. And I started thinking, you know, while I was in the taxi cab, and then, by the way, at the end, we didn't even finish the meeting. He said, well, pretty soon we got to go. We'll wrap this thing up and we'll get back and communicate a little more about it, and, you know, as soon as we can. And I felt frustrated. I felt like, you know, we didn't even complete this thing. He wasn't even here. And now he's got to go catch a plane. So we got to end the meeting. So I was starting to get just a little bit concerned. And I started to go up to my room and I thought, okay, a chance to practice your reality check because you're upset right now. And it looks like it's something worth being upset about. And is it really? So I said, okay, am I willing to really learn something that's valuable from this? Am I willing to do something right now to make this better? My brain said, well, maybe. So I said, well, making this person wrong, make them want to help me or make things better for this person and me in the future? No way. All right, so what's really upsetting me in this situation? What's the specific meaning I'm linking to this? And I thought, well, the meaning I link to this person isn't as committed as I am. Does that sound familiar? This person's like, you know, it's okay for them to get up and do it. The meaning I link to this person's counting on me to design the whole show. I thought to myself, what other meaning do I link to this? And I thought, well, the meaning I link to this is they're counting on me to get this whole thing done. The meaning I link to this is they don't think it's important enough to be there. The meaning I link to this is they didn't allow enough time for something this important and they don't think it's important enough to take time for. And you know what? I was whipped into a nice frenzy. So then I went to the third question. Could this be a misperception or misinterpretation on my part? Well, anything's possible. Well, do I have all the information possible in order to absolutely know exactly what this situation means and what it really means? Well, no, I don't know what he did or anything else, but, you know. On to the fourth question, well, what else could this mean? I thought, well, how many negative meanings did I come up with? At least three or four? All right, I got to come up with four or five on the positive side. Well, what this could mean is that my partner trusts me so much that he knows that whatever I'm going to do is going to be valuable, and he just respects me so much that he didn't feel like he had to be there. Don't like that one, but okay. What else could this mean? Well, it could mean that, you know, I showed up late that morning by about 15 or 20 minutes and kept things a little bit tight. You know, maybe that person, you know, had planned their schedule accordingly to be able to pack up or something. What else could it mean? Well, I guess it could mean that they had to get back. What else could it mean? It could mean that they'd left a tape recorder there in front of me, which was true, and they were planning on getting the information off the tape recorder directly in a transcript so they could analyze it more in more detail. What else could this mean? Well, it could mean there was something that they had to do that was really important, and they didn't want to interrupt me and interrupt my flow. Well, that's very possible. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel so bad anymore. What I do, I went to question number five. What do I need in order to feel good now? Do I need to change my perception? I thought, yeah, probably. Do I need to, you know, find out more information? Maybe. I may not even need it. I may be making this something bigger than it really is. Do I need to really understand this person's viewpoint and why they did this? And all of a sudden, it didn't feel like that big of a deal. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess I could. Do I need to know they really care for me? I thought, I know they care for me. And I know they're respectful to me. You know, do I need a commitment from them? Nah, I just need to let them know that in the future, you know, I'd really appreciate it if they're going, let me know where they're going. It's okay to interrupt me just so I understand what's going on, because otherwise, sometimes my brain thinks the worst, especially if I'm all physically worn out. Do I need to change the way that we're doing something? Yeah, I would like to schedule the meeting so we have more than enough time to make sure we can complete the task, because the incompletion is what bothered me, I realized. And lastly, do I need to apologize to this person? I thought, well, I don't know, maybe. Well, since this will probably be the first time they'll hear about this on this tape, I guess they're hearing an apology now. And the last one I thought is, do I need to just remember who this person really is and how much I love them and they love me? And I thought, I know this person loves me. It's not that big a deal. And I just let go. And I didn't need to communicate it. I didn't suppress it. It was transformed. I asked, well, how can I communicate my needs in a way that really expands and empowers my relationship? I thought, well, next time I'm with them, when we go to do a meeting in advance, I'll say, hey, you know, it's real important to me that if you need to get up and leave, let me know where you're going, because I know you're busy and I know you're doing important things, and I just want to make sure you hear this. I don't want you listening on tape later on, because I value your input while we're in the process, not later on. I kind of work in the flow. I thought, you know, the way I'll do it is I'll just say, hey, I need your help. You know, if we're going to do this thing, could you please stay here, or can you let me know when you're going to take a break, because I want you to be part of it. It's important to me. And what's great about this? It's a chance for me to expand again. And what else is great about this is, gosh, I'm noticing that there seems to be a pattern here, that I get upset when I think people aren't as committed as I am to getting something done. Sure enough, I get up to my room, and guess what happens? I look at my update from my secretary, and it tells me what time I'm supposed to be on my plane. I thought, heck, I got a good 3 hours here. We could have got more done. I thought, get off of it. Move on. You know, you got plenty to do at home. So I picked up the phone, called my secretary, and said, hey, please do me a favor. Get me on the next plane out of here. Well, she called me back 5 minutes later. She goes, gosh, you know, I'm really sorry, but you are on the next plane out of here, and you got 35 minutes to get there from downtown San Francisco. Oh, man. You talk about a state change. I was already in a unique state. I just stacked one after another, and now I'm supposed to try and make it to the airport in 35 minutes? So I hung up the phone. I was very irritated, and I got in the taxi and was screaming along, and the guy's saying, I don't think you can make it. And I said, sir, if you can make it, here's a bonus, right? I tried some incentive there, right? I said, I know you can do it, and I cheered the guy on. Meanwhile, I was really whipped into a nice little frenzy one more time. I thought, you know what? I got to get some rest. That's the number one thing I got to do, because I'm stressed all the time here. I got to make sure that I get my physiology back in shape, because I interpret things. And I thought, too, let me pull out my journal and write down my reality check on this. Am I willing to learn something valuable or to change something right now? You bet I want to change something. I'm tired of this. Will making this person wrong make it better? Make them want to help me? No. Two, what's really upsetting me? Well, what's upsetting me in the situation is, the meaning I link to this person didn't stay on top of it. They didn't communicate the right thing. They weren't as committed to making this work as I did. And I thought, whoa, is there a pattern here or what? And so sure enough, I put down, well, could this be a misperception or misinterpretation? I thought, yeah. What else could this mean? My staff is maxed out too. If I got this schedule, they're trying to keep up with me. And you know what? You know, two people didn't talk to each other, and, you know, the schedule was put together last minute, so I know this person is always on top of things. I know this person's intense there. I know who this person is. They bust their tail for me every single day. So what could this mean? Probably just means overwhelm. Probably just means something got dropped out. Probably just means in the midst of moving our offices, something didn't get handled effectively. What do I need in order to feel good now? I just need to change my perception and remember that I am supported and these people are committed. Do I need to find out more information? Yeah, probably a little information. Do I need to understand their viewpoint? Nah, I know their viewpoint is trying to make it work. Do I need to know that they really care for me? I know they care for me. Do I need a commitment from them? They are committed to me. Do I need to change the way we're doing something? Yeah, we need to make sure we have a new system in place with a move to the office. Do I need to apologize? Yeah, I really do. I need to tell this person, when that happened, I need your help. When that happened the other day, now I misinterpreted that to mean that you really weren't on top of it. I know you are. You bust your tail more than anybody. So I just want to apologize to you and tell you how much I appreciate you. Wow, you can't believe how far that went. And lastly, do I just need to remember who this person really is and how much they care for me and how much I care for them? And I thought, that's exactly it. And like all my energy, all my pain disappeared. And I thought, well, how can I communicate my needs in a way that really empowers my relationship? And I thought, I don't even need to communicate because I know this person is responsible. This person is probably beating themselves up much more than I ever could because that's what responsible people do. They care. I thought, what's great about this? I said, what's great about this is in one day I've gotten to use this reality check 3 times and I realize there's a pattern here I got to change. And that is assuming when I'm stressed that other people aren't working as hard as I am and they're not as committed as I am. I got to stop that. I got to develop a new belief that says responsible people are always giving their best. So once I know this person's responsible, I know they're giving their all. And you know what? It released me because I went through the next 2 days without any sleep and I went through several situations just like this and I didn't even have to do the reality check because I noticed a pattern and I changed my belief. So how do you do that? You just decide. But I guess that's an issue of another power talk. So for now, here's what I want you to do for your homework. Your homework's real simple. First of all, remember what we've talked about here. That really the mastery of life is the mastery of meaning. Mastering the way you communicate to yourself about what things mean. And make sure before you communicate to anybody else, communicate better to yourself. At least find out what your needs are and allow for the possibility that as certain as you are about something and what it means, that there may be another possibility that's not so painful and one that doesn't make others wrong. If you can just get in the habit of that, it can change your life. And I'm teaching what I need to learn just like everybody else, but I just developed this technology. I can promise you that in the short time I've used it, it's already made a lot of fantastic changes. So it's not easy because it's a habit, but it can become easy once it is a habit. And all it takes is doing it a few times, asking the questions again and again, starting to feel upset and asking the question. And also remembering every response somebody gives you is either a loving response or a cry for help. So don't respond to a cry for help with a cry for help. I know you will, and I know I will too, but let's get in the habit of doing that less and watch how our communication just transforms. And most importantly, let's never question the intent of those people that we've created a bridge with. Once we decide who that person is, we're not going to question what their intent is. They may have behavior we don't like, but we don't ever question the essence of our relationship. That's so important to long-term success in any kind of communication, whether it be business or personal, that's going to last. So what I'd like you to do is simple. I'd like you to take out your journal and I want you to come up with 2 issues you've had in your personal life with other people. Now, when I say issues, it may not be a big issue. It may have just been something that made you a little bit angry or a little bit upset or a little frustrated with somebody. Or maybe it was real angry or real upset. Maybe you've gotten resentful about it. And what I'd like you to do is in writing, do the reality check on each one of these 1 at a time. In other words, run through the 7 questions and write down the answers. The reason is in writing it down, it'll be much more clear to you seeing those ideas right there in front of you. And also, hey, look, I know you don't know these 7 questions yet. You don't know the reality check. You've only heard it a few times. That's why I try to give you 2 or 3 examples for repetition's sake. And you might want to listen to this tape again and again until you really get it down. But in writing down the questions and the answers, you'll start to memorize the 7 questions. They'll start to become part of you. And once you've done that with 2 issues in your personal life, I'd like you to do it with 2 business areas. That is, think of maybe an issue you've had with your boss or a coworker. And again, issue may be too strong a word for you, but an upset or a frustration or something that just confused you. You don't know why it happened. And run through the reality check. When you're done with that, your 3rd step is go communicate in a way that makes this person feel appreciated, not judged, and ask for their help. Tell them how you may have misinterpreted something and you just like some clarification and would they please help you? I think if you do that, you're going to find out. You'll be able to create the bond that's really most important, and you'll find a whole new way of breaking through in communication. I hope you found the session to be really useful. I can tell you, if you apply it, you'll get results. Don't just trust me on it. Go do it. and then write me a note and tell me about the great results. I'd love to hear it. Also, before I let you go, I think you're going to love the interview this month. It's with Dr. Gerald Jampolsky and his partner Diane Cerencioni. They're the authors of Love is the Answer, and Jerry Jampolsky is the author of the famous book Love is Letting Go of Fear. And I think you'll find this interview with them extremely interesting because they're going to touch on a variety of issues, including relationships, since they have such a successful one themselves. And this month's book summary is called Dr. Deming, The American Who Taught the Japanese About Quality by Rafael Aguayo. And I think you're going to find this book to be absolutely incredible. Even if you're not involved in business, it'll stimulate you. So please review the book summary, and then I highly suggest you go get the book and read it. It's one of the finest books I've read on business in the last 10 years. But I got to tell you, as I read it, I immediately started applying it to my personal life as well. So until I see you next month, make sure you do your homework and enjoy a little reality checking on yourself. If you do this for a whole month, I can promise you, you'll have a new perspective on life's meanings, and you'll have a much better communication. Till then, remember, live with passion.